Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back into KER Politics. We have a very interesting woman on the line right now. Her name is Belinda Kendall. Belinda has a television show, about 500,000 subscribers, and we're going to talk a little bit about her show and how she is involved in racial equality. Belinda, you're on. Thank you so much for coming on, my dear.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Tell us about your show.
So what I did, I wanted to buy a TV station, and I went into a partnership with Mr. Wang. He's down in Houston, Texas. So he has a digital TV station, which I found out later on that Texas is the number one or number two on cable network in the United States,
yeah.
Meaning more people tend to digital. So he has given me one day a week, Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And what I'm doing is looking for shows that don't normally get a platform. So by doing this, I'm planning it to grow. But I'm in the process now of buying several radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to create a big footprint in the media industry with my company, Promise Media Group.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you real quick what we're doing, and then Frida, you can jump in. But we have started a coalition, a foundation with a number of people. It's called the Judeo-Christian Coalition for Sensibility, Peace, and Love in the United States. Frida and I are,
wow.
Yeah, Frida and I are very, 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 very passionate about racial equality for a variety of reasons, which aren't worth going into right now. But we are devoting our entire radio show. We have an awful lot of listeners, and we're going to be talking with people like yourself, Belinda, who are not necessarily pro-violence to make a point,
right.
but teach by example to make a point. What are your thoughts on that, Belinda?
Well, I think what it is that, and I've said this before, that racism, the root of it is fear.
Yep.
And we keep getting mad at grass for growing back after you cut it, but that's what it's supposed to do until you get to the root of it. So I think that we need to start active conversations, spending more time with the other race, being transparent, because it's all fear. It's the fear of the unknown. I've always said that the number one selling car in the world is black. Every woman is encouraged to have a black dress in her closet. Your wardrobe is not complete unless you have black shoes. High-class dinners, black tie affair. Every dignitary rides in a black car. But as soon as you take the black and apply it to skin, everything changes. And that shouldn't be.
Well, that's extremely important for everyone to hear. We suffer racism in this country more so than we expected, expecting it to become easier on everyone and having more unity. And that's what our foundation is called, Foundation for Unity as well. And with this racism going on, how do you
yes.
feel that represents America today? Do you feel that Americans are really going into this discriminating other people the way the media is showing it to be?
Yes, in many ways I do, and it's because racism has been passed down to generation like a recipe. And so for us to really attack this at the root, it goes much deeper. You have to understand that maybe your parents lied to you. The ones that loved you, broke their back to make ends meet. They lied to you because white people are not what they say they are and black people are not what they say they are. So you've got two different races standing face to face with a history of stories in them. So what I see on the media, sometimes it does reflect what's actually happening.
Of course it does. You know, Belinda, I have to agree with you 100%. My only point is purely and simply, I'm not necessarily a pacifist, okay, but I'm also a realist. And, you know, you mentioned earlier in our discussion talking about fear. Well, you know, fear and fear and anger are probably the two most dangerous emotions in the world. And
it is.
Of course they are. I totally understand where you're coming from in terms of your statement. I don't think there's any question about that. I think anybody who would not agree with you would be absolutely diluting themselves, kidding themselves, for lack of better terms.
Right.
But, you know, most of the African Americans, if not all, who we have talked with have said, we really think there's a better way, and the better way is to prove by example that we're not what,
exactly.
what some of these idiots think that who we are.
Well, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says pride is the root to all sin.
You got it.
So if you look at pride as a tree, it has a branch called anger. It has a branch called intimidation, control. Pride is a tree with many branches, and the leaves are fear. You know, you have a branch that's called controlling. But the fear of that is that you fear that you won't be in control. So when I see people coming up against Black Lives Matter, it kind of reminds me of Breast Cancer Month. It's almost like someone with the flu getting upset because y'all are not celebrating or finding a cure for my flu this month. You know, it's kind of ridiculous.
You know what I have to...
Well, you know, you should... Go ahead.
I agree 100% is all I wanted to say, Frieda.
No, I was just, you know, looking at your profile, Belinda. It's extremely impressive. And you also served on the board, yes, absolutely, that supports veterans, nonprofit veterans internationally. So you're a person with purpose and with change. So I was just wondering, moving forward, what would be your purpose in supporting anti-racism, anti-discrimination, defunding the police, what's going on with all that and that chaos? Moving forward, what is your vision for supporting all this unity that we need in this our foundation as well? And by the way, you're so good that Al, and I'm going to speak for you, we would love to have you on our organization to represent this foundation as well. Absolutely, we would love that. We'd be honored to have you as part of this.
You.
And I'm just thinking, yes, my pleasure, our pleasure. Moving forward, what is your vision of securing a position and making a difference with this?
Belinda, we're down to about two minutes. Thank you.
Okay. So what you guys are doing is something that I want to magnify. Creating the platform so those conversations can take place. My goal is to create a larger platform so conversations can take place. I would love to be a part of a diversity group that would talk to corporate America and actually bring the coworkers together. I was just telling someone the other day this incident with George Floyd. It was a good thing it happened during the pandemic. It wasn't a good thing, but it happened during the pandemic because can you imagine if schools were in and all of this anger went to school every day after something like that happened? So even in corporations, going back to work with your coworkers with this hidden anger in your heart. So I think what needs to take place and what my plans are is opening up more communication, creating more platforms so these conversations can take place. It is the bottom line is just fear of the unknown. And we've got to find a way to take that fear out so we can go to people and talk to them and express our concerns and be able to listen with passion and not judgment. And defunding the police, I'm not for defunding the police right now. I think, you know, there's a lot of police officers. I have very close friends that are state troopers. I'm good friends with the sheriff of our county, who is the first Black sheriff of Mecklenburg County. But the thing is that we can say all these things about the police because of a few bad police. But as soon as we hear a bump in the night, they come in to rescue us.
Belinda,
so
I have to interrupt you just for a second. We're going to go ahead and keep going on this. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. We're going to come back for the next segment, and we're going to continue our conversation. You have become a sister in arms with us.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. We are back with Belinda. We are talking a little bit about racial issues right now. She is about as active as Frieda and I are becoming in this quagmire, for lack of better terms. I like what she has to say, and she has agreed to help us out a bit with our foundation. Let's continue on, if you don't mind, with your feelings about what's going on in the United States right now in terms of the killing, the violence.
Well, you know what? For a long time, it's been like watching a balloon blow up. And if you can imagine a balloon blowing up and it gets to a certain size, we start bracing ourselves for the pop. And I think that's where we are now, is pop. The air is slowly leaking out, and it's going to take everybody to put a conscious effort in bringing a change and breaking down these walls and having these real conversations. I have my team that works with me. You could almost say it looks like the UN. You know, I have all races of men that are on my team to help me reach my goal. I think that we can't go too pro-black and we can't go too pro-white, because everybody has gifts, everybody has talents, and we shouldn't let the color of our skin stop us from engaging with them.
You know, that's very true, and we're having protesters and rioters confused, which are the people that really want peace and which are the people that really want to create chaos. And we do have to separate the two. And now we're even looking at people bearing arms in their own homes to protect themselves. Is that something that you would recommend, if we're going to have less police officers around? Is that something that's dangerous for us? Because we are stepping into a new area of making this kind of decision, what safety means today, as opposed to safety that we took for granted in the past.
Well, as a Christian, I have to believe God is going to protect me. As a Christian, Psalms 139 said he knows the day that you will be born and the day that you would die. I can't feed into the fear of it, but I don't know who made this quote. It says, by having a gun is an invitation to be shot. So when you approach someone like that, they're going to come at you the same way. So I'm still kind of foggy on that decision of everybody having guns in their house. That could go terribly wrong. And because we are already ignited with fear, how many people would get accidentally shot just because of this fear that's been fed through the media?
You know, for what it's worth, go ahead. Just let me give my opinion real quick here. For what it's worth, I don't have a gun in the house. I happen to also be a very avid Christian, and I don't have a gun in the house. And the conclusion that I came to, if something should happen, my wife and I live in a pretty isolated area, and if something should happen, if somebody should break in, for example, with a firearm, my only defense would be, I would say, you know what, I don't have a gun, I'm not going to hurt you, I don't want to live in a world where I have to live in fear of somebody hurting me.
No.
That's the only defense that I have.
Yeah, I can't live like that. I can't function like that.
No, I can't.
Well, we're all hoping that would make a difference, and sometimes it does, and sometimes we have to be aware that the people who are rioting are not stable themselves, and they're not like us, and we can't take that for granted. So people who are pent up from the virus, people who have mental issues, people who are depressed, they're all part of this mix, and so we really sometimes have to go to a place that doesn't represent who we are. You know, if you saw me, I'd be the last person you would think that would have a gun or a rifle in my hand. I'm really middle, really, if you saw me. You'd say, forget it. This lady can't handle that. Yeah, it's not going to work. But then we have to, But then we have to think of what we're up against, and not everyone is like us. And it has nothing to do with the color. It has nothing to do with, look how great we're getting along, because we're really on the same page. And you can feel a connection with another human being. And we really should not even be talking about color. Color should not be something that is visible. My kids, who are a different generation, they don't see color. They don't even say, if I mention the word black or white, they say, they right away shut me up and say, I'm discriminating. Why are you saying that? So they have been brought up extremely differently, I'm happy to say. So a lot of this that's going on does not represent our country and the way we really feel, because people like you and I, black and white, are in this together, protecting and defending each other, and we can really feel each other's pain. It's not right. that you were brought up a certain way. So that you wrote a quote. I could talk forever, as Al knows, so I'm going to be quiet. But you wrote a quote that was very interesting, and I want to ask you about it. It said, "Women with know-how never let your past be bigger than your dreams." Could you elaborate on that?
Yes. What happens a lot of times when God has you in a process for another level, you will go through things, make mistakes. I used to say that women were never created to be head of households. But that's why we make so many mistakes, because when the man got out of place, we had to get in place. So sometimes we just let, because they left, so we had to get in place. And, you know, I think heart attacks are killing more women than more anything else, because they got in a place of a man's position. So what happens is that when you make mistakes, bad decisions, or you have failures, sometimes that will create a prison for you where you will not dream bigger. It's like you're held right there in that space of time. And that alone is a form of demonic, because you will let your past hold you back from your future. I remember my daddy used to say, he said, "Why is the windshield bigger than the rearview mirror?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Because what's behind you is smaller. What's in front of you is bigger." So
you had a wise father. Yeah.
That's a very, mm-hmm. that's an incredibly astute statement, Belinda. You know, we have been chatting for the past almost two segments with Belinda Kendall. I have to tell you, I have an awful lot of time for this lady. I'm looking forward to working in conjunction with her, people like Oren, who is on our program following the top of the hour news break. I want to say, people who want to stand up, make a difference, and do it with what I would call Judeo-Christian principles, are the only mm-hmm. kind of people in this world, Belinda, that I have any time for. People who are violent, mm-hmm. people who are violent will accomplish absolutely nothing, in my opinion. Belinda, we've got about 30 seconds here. You have the final word, my dear.
We have to start looking at people like banks. When I used to complain to my father about the problems I was having with my ex-husband, he said, "Why do you go to the bank trying to get money you can't take out?" He said, "If you deposit $500, you can't take out $1,000. So he explained to me, you married a man that grew up in a single-parent home. He doesn't know what a husband looks like. He doesn't know what a father looks like. But you keep trying to withdraw something that's not there. So when I take that and apply that theory to what we see today as far as racism, if it's been deposited in you for so many years that black people are bad or white people are bad, don't be surprised if you can't withdraw anything else, because it's never been deposited in them. And it's up to us to start depositing that into people today.
Belinda, I've got to cut you off. God bless you, Belinda Kendall.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time for the second half of KER Politics. Dr. Birnbaum and I are now talking with a gentleman who has been on the show before. We're going to tell you about what he does, and we're going to tell you about what we do with an organization, a foundation that we have started the paperwork on, entitled the Birnbaum Corlin Foundation for Love in America. Frieda, can you introduce Oren and tell our listeners why we're so excited about talking with him?
Well, it's my pleasure, and he's wonderful. We actually love Oren. We've never met in person, but the vibes that he gives are extremely positive and exciting. I called Oren yesterday and asked him if he could be on the show today. And without a hesitation, I just want everyone to know who he is. He said, "What time?" And that shows how busy he really is, because people who are busy have more time. But Oren is someone who has really been very effective with helping children to become leaders in our society. So he's not only a leader himself, and that's what we're looking for, black leaders in the communities, but he's moving forward with helping children how to be strategists, how to listen to yourself, how to make a difference in the world. So he is someone who can only bring positivity to a country in a world that's in a chaos with everything around us. And that's why it's so refreshing to hear what Oren has to say. So I'm going to throw out the first question here. I have so many. And then, Al, you know, I promise that after that, I want to hear what you have to say, because you said a lot of wonderful things before we recorded. We need to hear that as well. But I was just wondering, Oren, what do you think of this defunding of the police and then bringing in social services to make up for preventing any kind of drug use, any alcoholism, anything that could be replaced with social services? Or do you think we should keep the police intact? What is your point of view?
Well, my POV is that obviously we need more police officers, and we also need social workers as well. I just think we need to beef up the police officer, as well as have mental counselors and doctors who can identify things, because a lot of our challenges are mental, and it's 90% mental, and a lot of the challenges that we have with people who police officers are shooting or either trying to fight the police, is something wrong with them. And there's a case here in Atlanta where an officer shot and killed a naked man who was coming at him, and they threw the officer under the bus. And, you know, the officer did all he could do based on his training. And so I think we need to increase police officers, and we need to also beef up mental counselors, social workers, and people who have some psychological problems.
You know, I just want to throw in one thing here. I want to throw in an opinion, because we're giving Oren the entire second half of the radio show, so we got plenty of time. I watched the video with the body cams of the situation with George Floyd, and I have to tell you, I agree 1,000%. I know that he was loaded with illegal drugs, etc., etc., but the fact of the matter is, I watched that video 3 or 4 times, and I have to say I agree with President Trump 1,000% when Trump said this is an unconscionable action, and the police officers who engaged in it need to be punished. I have to agree with that 1,000%. Now, having said that, you know, I've told the story about my little grandson who stands up to his friends in school and says, "You guys are crazy. All police, all law enforcement officers are not bad people." Let me tell you, I do a Bible study with once a week with a number of guys. They are all retired law enforcement, with one exception. Mike Bailey is a retired Navy SEAL instructor who was decorated by the President of the United States. All of these guys feel the same way that I do. Adjustments have to be made in the police department. A lot of cops don't understand the psychology of situations like the ones that Oren is trying to prevent from happening by working with kids. Oren, tell us a little bit about your organization, would you?
Be Someone is a youth development program that teaches children to think twice, be nice, and save a life. Because don't do the first thing that pops in your head. Your first crack could be a whack, and you can't take it back. So think before you act. We're teaching young people how to play chess, how to make good decisions, and just be kind. Do no harm. Brains before bullets. Think it out. Don't shoot it out. The only way to fight is to use your head.
Wow, that's so potent. I'm telling you, that should be heard everywhere. That message, if young people could take that, they would really do extremely well. They don't hear that message enough. You know, we really have to look at prevention. We have to see that what's going on around us has a lot to do with the way these kids are often brought up in families that are really not functioning well. And then they're locked up, and then they're put into situations where they learn how to even be more criminals and better at what they're doing. They're not reformed at all. So, you know, I was just wondering, what do you tell your students, the children, the kids that you're with? What do you say? How do you talk about racism to them? What is your message when all this is going on around you?
Well, number one, don't do no looting, don't do no violence, and have the courage to stop anybody you with is trying to do that. Love your neighbor. There's no black, there's no white. We all are one. We all live in the same house, and we got to love your neighbor. All lives matter, starting with your own. Get your head up, get your pants up, get your grades up, and the big one, never give up.
Let me give you a little bit of a summary here of Mr. Hudson. Orrin Checkmate Hudson is a former Alabama state trooper. He's an Air Force veteran, and he's a well-known, world-renowned chess champion. He's the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, One Move at a Time, How to Win at Chess and Life. We're going to make that book available to you so you can get it from Amazon. I think it's something that everybody needs to read. Orrin Hudson is a guy who, with his Be Someone Foundation, is doing more than just complaining. The guy is really making a difference. And I have to thank Dr. Birnbaum for introducing me to Mr. Hudson. We had him on the show, I believe it was about a month ago. I did a fair amount of background work on Orrin, and I'm telling you, it all is coming up positive. Orrin, we've got about a minute here, and then we have to take a real quick commercial break. During the commercial break, Frieda, I'd like you to explain to our listeners a little bit about our foundation, what we're going to do to try and help people like Orrin. You know, as it says in the Bible, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And there is no question whatsoever in my mind about the correctness of that. I have been a student of the Bible for a long, long time, and I know that God is not going to let anything really detrimental happen. This is a lesson for us, for some black Americans, African Americans, I want to say. It's a tough lesson. God has taught me an awful lot of tough lessons, but I have to tell you, in the end, it has worked. Orrin may not be successful within the beginnings of his group, of his organization, Be Somebody, but I have to tell you, he's going to change kids' lives, he's going to save lives, he's going to make America a better place. We're going to be right back with Orrin Hudson. Okay, welcome back. Dr. Birnbaum and I are chatting with Orrin Hudson right now. Orrin, I want you to tell us, if you would, in your own words, about your organization, any money that, you know, we can raise for you, you can raise for yourself. Tell us what's being done with that money.
Well, we're trying to teach young people. Our goal is to train 1 million children. We train over 77,000 kids. We just completed a 6-week online program, but we want to start it back up at the end of August. And we want to do a 10-week program teaching young people critical thinking skills, decision making, how to be a good person, how to provide value. There are 4 types of people in the world. There are people that subtract and divide. And when you subtract and divide, you go to jail. When you add, you're successful. And when you multiply, you're super successful. God's first instructions to the first couple on earth was be fruitful and multiply. So what we're trying to teach young people is how to multiply value, give people more value than they give you.
Frieda.
It's amazing. Yes, you know, Ella, I'm sitting here. You can't see me, but I'm smiling.
And I'm thinking, you know, Oren, you're so wise. You have all these sayings, all these words that you accumulate because you know what it is that is important, and you're giving this message. And the more we talk to you, the more wiser you become and the more words that you have to give us. I'm even writing some of this down. But, you know, what's most important is what we're all trying to do is make a difference to the world, to our country, to diversity, to unity, to unify everyone. And I was just wondering, as you were talking, what do you think has been going on the last 5 or 10 years? Do you think we're in a better place or in a worse place after all the civil rights and Martin Luther King and these protesters who are trying not to be rioters, and then they're being misplaced and displaced by these rioters? Do you think it's changed to the better or to the worse? What is your opinion of what's going on today?
I think it's changed for the better. There's a silver lining. Yes, there's been some problem. Yes, there's been some challenging part. But at the end of the day, I think it's a silver lining. The silver lining is that people are realizing that we all are one, and that we're in this together, and that I cannot be what I ought to be into you or what you ought to be. We all live in the same house, and that you got to love thy neighbor as thyself, because that your neighbor is yourself. When I was a state trooper, I treated everyone I stopped like the most important person in the world. Why? Because what you sincerely desire for others will happen for you.
You know, one comment I want to make, Mr. Hudson, is I'm a real avid reader. I have an undergraduate degree in literature, among other things. My favorite contemporary author in the United States is a fellow by the name of John Grisham. John Grisham always has a moral in his books, a very important story to tell. And I'll tell you, one book that I read of his, which I think is far and away the best of his books, is called A Time to Kill. Samuel L. Jackson and a couple of other very well-known actors were in that movie. And I have to tell you, Samuel L. Jackson, his portrayal in that movie because of what happened to his fictitious daughter, really made me as an American stop and think, and really made me realize something very, very important. And that's, I have to put myself in the shoes of people who are like yourself. I don't know that I can fit into your shoes, Oren, and the reason I say that is because you are really doing some very positive things. Now, you have affected a number of young people so far. Give us a couple of success stories, would you?
Well, I was a kid by the name of Robert Curry. His mother called me at 1:30 in the morning. She said, my son is in a gang, and I called every agency in Atlanta to try to get some help for him, and nobody would help her. So she reached out to me at 1:30 in the morning and asked me would I volunteer my service and sign a court affidavit committing to helping her child. I told her yes. I helped her child. We got him out of the gang. He graduated. And a reporter asked me, why would you take a phone call from a complete stranger at 1:30 in the morning? I said, a full-time soldier sleeps with his boots on. It's not about me. It's about we. And it takes teamwork to make the dream work.
You know, it's interesting also when I called you, Oren. I'm sorry, Al, were you going to say something?
No, I was just not don't want to talk over you. Go ahead. I was just taking a breath.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Oh, okay. So, you know, when I called you and you said, yes, you're here to service, to do the right thing for other people, that's true. You automatically jump to that place. You're here to take care of other people in an unconditional, responsive way. It's nothing that you're programmed to do. It's not even for the money, for the prestige, for the reputation. It's just something that's inert in you. But I just wrote something down when you said your neighbor is yourself. And I would like to ask you a question about that statement, because it's true, your neighbor is yourself. But when you go to underprivileged neighborhoods, and as a black community, as a black person there, your neighbor is different than your neighbor if you're a black person living in a middle class or upper middle class community.
You have privileges that you don't have. You're in an economic situation that makes you more privileged, more listened to, and often more significant. I hate to say this. So the real dilemma today in our society is that what your address is can really determine your future as well. When you are born into a situation where there is street gangs, where there is fighting, where people shoot kids because the bullet goes astray into a different area, you're at a huge disadvantage. So I'd like to hear a little bit about what your childhood was like, where you lived, and how you went ahead and fought that and went in a whole different direction.
Well, when I was a gang member myself when I was in my teens. And I come from a large family. We had 14 people in the family. And I never forget, this gang member came to my house with a box of honey buns. And he said, listen, if you want stuff like this, you got to hang with us and do what we say do. So basically, I was a pawn for crime, following the follower, listening to them. And then a teacher by the name of James Edge, a white teacher in an all-black high school, told me that I need to learn how to think for myself. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm going to teach you chess. I said, I'm a checker guru. He said, checkers, you use it half of the board. I'm going to show you how to use the entire board. So he taught me chess, and it turned my life around. It started me thinking for myself. And I realized that no one was coming to the rescue, that if my life had to change, I had to change. If my life wanted to get better, I had to get better. And I had to start thinking for myself and not being a pawn for crime and following a fool.
You know, I got to tell you, somebody's going to write a book about you someday. I hope they don't beat me to it because, you know, people who, as you say, stand up, pull your pants up, be a man, be a woman, help out society, take responsibility, et cetera, that is one of the most inspiring stories I have ever heard. Ladies and gentlemen, you folks who happen to be listening perhaps on the radio, go to our website, www.kereport.com. If you'd like to get hold of Orrin Hudson, find out more about Be Somebody Organization, I will provide all the information that I can so you can get hold of Orrin. And if you decide to take part, learn about it. If this is something you feel you may want to join Frida and I and be a part of, we would love to chat with you. I will put a phone number on there, a phone on my personal phone, and you call me anytime you want. You can get any information that you like. Be Somebody is an organization that is going to potentially change the United States. We are going to become a better country because of people like Mr. Orrin Hudson. Mr. Hudson has been through some hard times. He made a decision because of a white school teacher at one time to think for yourself. That's what he's doing, and that's what we recommend that all people in his position, or even my position or Frida's position, do. See you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.